This morning we're here because of His love. Amen. It's His love. It's about Him. Amen. It's about Jesus today. And we're grateful this morning to be, I'm grateful to be a child of the King. Amen. And it's all because of Him. There's nothing I could do. There's nothing I could say. There's nothing that I could be. But Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. He paid it all. Amen. It's good to be here today at Calvary. I appreciate the opportunity. The pastor and his wife are on my heart. Miss Lori's on my heart and their children today. But Lord has a plan for all of it, doesn't He? Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 11? Acts chapter number 11. We'll get into our message today. I want to just for a moment give you an encouragement for this week. I'll give you an extra encouragement. You need to come out. You need to be a part. If you've been here every time we've been here, you need to come out. If this is your first time, you need to come out. You need to be a part. You need to get your hands involved. You need to get your hands on the Word of God. Assemble them together. Maybe you only have 15 minutes to give us. Maybe you got a half an hour. Maybe you got a whole day. Come on out. Be a part of it. And we are going to be sending scriptures out to South Africa. That'll be pretty exciting. One of your families here, we're going to send it to them, and then you're going to have some to distribute here. The people need God's Word. They need His Word. And you have an opportunity this week, great opportunity. You say, well, I can't come, Brother Money, on Monday or Tuesday. Well, come on Wednesday. Get a part of it and be here for the project. Acts chapter number 11, we're going to get right into the Word of God. We're going to look at verse 19 and read through the Scriptures here. And it starts in verse number 19 this morning. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the Word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come unto Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas that they should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This morning, if I'm going to give a title to the message today, I would focus on this area in verse number 20, where they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. So the title of the message this morning is, These Words Changed Everything. Amen. These words changed everything. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to stand for your people, to be here in this pulpit. Lord, the gospel has been preached from this pulpit for 50 years now, and it's exciting and it's joyful to be a part of the ministry here and to have a small part into the work. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity today. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored. Anything that's said from my mouth today, I pray that you'd guard it, that you'd help me, Lord, that you'd fill me today with your Spirit, that you'd use me as a vessel. Lord, there are people here today that are hurting. There are people here today that need help. There are people here today on the mountain, in the valleys, and somewhere in between. And Lord, we all need to hear from you wherever we're at today. We need to hear from the God of heaven. And Father, I pray that you'd give me wisdom today. Give me understanding and knowledge in your Scriptures. Once again, be with Pastor Broyhill and Miss Lori, and Lord, help them and strengthen them and be there with them. Lord, help them to be a sweet savor to those that are where they're at today. And Lord, let their troubles be a help to someone else, that someone else may find Christ even there in that place. And Father, I pray today that above all you'd be glorified. Lord, I love you, I praise you, I magnify your name. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These words changed everything. I read a book not too long ago. It was a book called, of the same title, These Words Changed Everything. It was a book about a missionary. His name was Ken Jacobs. He went to the Cholula people in southern Mexico. And his job was to go into that culture and translate the Bible into the languages of the people. The problem was, is this was a very difficult group of people. They were called the impossible people. It was virtually impossible to penetrate their culture, to get in. They would kill people. They would do all kinds of things to people to keep the outside out there and to keep their culture pure and clean inside. But he had a command from the Word of God, and so he went to these people, and it was over 30 years he worked. Over 30 years they labored through many trials, through many difficulties, through many struggles. They finally were able to present to the Cholula people the New Testament in their language. Finally, the Word of God had gotten to their people. Finally, they could listen to Thus Saith the Lord. Finally, the words of God were in their language. And those words changed everything. It's those words. Can I say this morning, it's not my words that's going to change anything today, but it's these words. The words of the Word of God. These words will change everything. I can tell you what, they've changed everything in my life. And I guarantee you, if you're here this morning and you've come to know Christ as your Savior, these words have changed your life as well. I thought through the Scriptures of where the Word of God has changed everything. Now we think about it today and how that these words that we have been given, written in our language, change everything. But when they were first spoken, boy, it changed everything. When these words were first uttered, I go back in my mind to the very beginning. When we open up the Scriptures and we hear God standing over a planet that was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." And can I tell you what? Those words changed everything. All of a sudden, darkness became light. Night became day. Seasons became, at that time, those words changed everything. Wow, powerful words of God that just altered the world in what we know today. And it's still affecting our lives 7,000 years later. We have been affected by those words. I remember reading some other words in the Scriptures in the book of John when Jesus was on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross, crown of thorns in his head, beaten and bruised beyond recognition. Standing there between God and man, and he said these words, "It is finished." And can I tell you what? Those words changed everything. All of a sudden, that no more were the blood of bulls and goats required. And by the way, they never did much anyway. They couldn't save a man's soul, but God looked at the blood of bulls and goats and accounted to them righteousness. But here comes the Lamb of God, the Son of God, dying for our sins to pay the penalty of sin on the cross. And he says, "It is finished. No more work needs to be done in salvation." He did it all. And those words changed everything. They changed everything. Powerful. Man, I can think of some other words in the Scripture. "He is risen. He is not here." Wow. Hey, you can go to Muhammad's tomb and he's in it. You can go to Confucius and he's in it. His bones are there. There's remnants there. But Jesus Christ, he's not there. I'm telling you, the good news of the gospel today, he is risen. And those words, Brother Larry, changed everything. Change everything. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of God's word. These words changed everything. I can look at Scripture and find different phrases and different words and the power of the Word of God. You know in your own life how God has used His Word in your life personally in different situations where He has given you a verse. I can imagine in your mind you can pull up a verse just right now that God has used in your life that really changed everything. But there's other words in life that have changed everything. I remember as a 19-year-old boy, I was way too young, standing across the 19-year-old girl in an altar similar to this and saying these words, "I do." And can I tell you what? Those words changed everything. They changed everything. I was no longer my own. I was no longer one person. I no longer had responsibilities for myself. I had responsibilities for somebody else and a responsibility to love her till death do us part and all those things that come with those two words, I do, those three little letters, I do. I remember a couple of years later, she said some words to me that changed everything. Honey, I'm pregnant. And those words changed everything. I mean, my life turned upside down. And I'm thankful for those words. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for what God's given me. But these are words that's changed everything. I tell you, some other words in our life personally that changed everything. My wife was having physical problems. She started seeing double, which, you know, when she sees me, that's not a problem, is it? No, I'm just kidding. But she was seeing double, one image on top of the other, and we went to the doctor, and at first they thought it was vertigo, and after more testing and after she had got done, I remember I was traveling down south, and I got a phone call, and these words came across the phone. The doctor said, "I have multiple sclerosis, MS. And can I tell you what? Those words have changed everything. Those words. There's different words in your life that you hear that bring meaning and they change everything. Thank God I'm a child of the King and Amen. I can filter every word through this book. I can filter it all right here. And it's exciting. Here we have a group of people who said some words and these words really changed everything. When they came and they spoke unto the Grecians and preaching the Lord Jesus, just imagine what that did. Imagine what happened that day. When they started preaching to these Grecians, what happened was it was a start. It was another step towards getting the gospel to the Gentiles beyond the Jewish people, beyond the chosen people. The gospel could now go out and they stepped out on faith and these words were different words. Different than what had been said by other Jews and other people like them. But the gospel was going to filter one day through that, through what they said, all the way to us. Because of these words, it did. It was changing of everything. And so this morning, I want to go to a thought today. I want to first of all look at who spoke these words. I mean, who were they? Who really spoke these words? What were the words about? And how did it affect others? I like to see results. How did these words affect others? Let's look back and let's look who spoke these words. Now let's look back at verse 19. And I want to kind of make a picture. I want to give you some background before we really look into these people. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews." Now, oftentimes we gloss the scriptures and we read over things, but the Bible says that there were some that were in great persecution. Persecution came through what happened to Stephen several chapters earlier. And because of that persecution, more persecution came, and people were scattered, the Bible says. They were scattered abroad. They were dispersed. They were slung out there because of persecution. And if we really thought about what happened, and we really thought about this verse and how persecution really hit them, this persecution was not somebody making fun of them. This person wasn't, they got the door slammed in their face on visitation. Their persecution wasn't that they had some type of illness, and I'm not downplaying any of that. But this persecution was costing people their lives. They were cast into prison. They were killed. They were slain. They were stoned. Their heads were chopped off. I mean, this was a serious issue. And what happened was, is these people were squeezed. There were pressure put on them. There was persecution. I have up here a clear cup. And in this cup is some grapes. Well, these aren't grapes, Brother Vince. They're not. They're baby watermelons. See these baby watermelons? I brought these baby watermelons with me. Now, you know what? For you folks, I couldn't convince you that. You would say, no, those are grapes. But I would imagine there's some people in the world I could convince that these are baby watermelons, that this is how watermelons grow. But do you know how you can really tell what these are? Because on the outside, I can sell you from the outside. I might can sell you because of what's there. But on the inside, you'll find out exactly what they are. Because when they're squeezed, you know what comes out? Grape juice. Because these are grapes. And you know what happened? You know what happened in the story? You know what happened? The Bible says in verse 19, now they, when they were scattered abroad, and persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word of God to none but unto the Jews. You know what happened when they got pressure? You know what happened when they started losing lives? They weren't complaining. They weren't bickering. They weren't arguing. You know what they did? They preached Christ. You know why? Because Christ was inside. When they got squeezed, what came out was Jesus. And can I ask you this morning, what comes out when you get squeezed? What comes out when you're in persecution? What comes out when you go through trials? Well, I'll tell you what comes out. What's inside. Amen. And you know what the world needs? Christians.
Amen.
That when they get squeezed, Jesus comes out. Jesus comes out. Well, I can't understand that person. I don't know why they're going through this trial. I met a lady in the last church that I was in New York. She has MS, and we were able to talk about some different things. And she said she was in the doctor's office, and there was a lady in there, and she had MS as well. And the lady was complaining, why do I have this? I hate this disease. And this Christian lady says, you know what? I thank God for it. I thank God for what He's done. And she said, how can you say that? How can you be excited about having this disease? She says, ma'am, I've got Christ. You know what happened when she was squeezed? Jesus came out.
Amen.
And you know what happened when persecution and trials came to this group of people, this large group of people? Jesus came out. Now, what I want to do is paint the picture here for you today that there were people that were scattered abroad because of persecution. That was a large group of people. But then the scripture boils it down to three areas. It says they were dispersed and they went as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. So that boils it down. There were many places where they were scattered, but the furthest they were scattered was these three cities. And so we have these three cities, and so that's a smaller group. And we know in this passage that as they preach Jesus, they preach only to the Jews. Okay? And that was common. That was normal. That was, it wasn't common that the Jews preached unto the Jews, but it was common that it stayed within their culture. Okay? Do you understand that? And there were some of them that went far, and they were doing right. I mean, they were filled with the Spirit of God. They did right. They weren't complaining. They weren't griping. They weren't belly aching. They were preaching Christ. But they didn't go far enough. Because we find in verse number 20 another group, and this is the smallest group that we see. The Bible says, and some of them. And some of them. And what that means is a part, a smaller part of the bigger group. And what did they do? And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were coming to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. We find in this passage, some of them. Now, isn't it common in churches when we have an activity, we probably wouldn't expect everybody to come. You know what? I'd love for all Christians to be here this morning. But they can't be. There's some issues, there's problems. We understand that. We're not talking about that. But participation isn't always 100%. Sometimes it'd be good if there was 75%, right? Sometimes it'd be nice if there was 50% participation. But the bottom line is, most of the time, it's just some of them. It's some of them that go on visitation. It's some of them that tithe. It's some of them that go into mission work. It's some of them. And we understand that. That's not a bad thing. And we see a group here, they're called some of them. Let me give you something this morning. I want to give you what I know about them. I want to give you what I noticed about them. And I want to give you what I learned about them. So if you got a pen and you want to write this down, I think it'd be great for you today. Some of them. You know what? Not all the people got in the ark, but aren't you glad for some of them? Not everybody went into Canaan, but aren't you glad for some of them? Not everybody did well in captivity, but some of them did. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you a some of them? Are you a some of them in the work of the Lord? It's a great question to ask. Now let's talk about some of them for a moment. This is what I know about them. Verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. And so I know where some of them came from. It doesn't give me a name. It doesn't tell me who they are. It doesn't tell me much about them, but they were from Cyrene and Cyprus here in this passage. They were from these two areas, Cyprus and Cyrene. So I know where they were from, Cyprus and Cyrene. I know that they were reduced in number. There wasn't a lot of them. So I know very little. The Scripture gives us very little of what to know about them. But this is what I noticed about them. I noticed that some of them were different. They were different. They had a different level of faith. You know what? All those that were scattered out that preached Jesus had a level of faith. They were doing right, but some of them went further. Some of them took their faith beyond what was normal, what we may call in that day a normal Christian. They went further. They had a different level of faith. So what I noticed about them is that they had a different level of faith. The second thing I noticed about them is they were willing to be a small part of a big thing. They were willing to be a small part of a big thing. You know, to get the gospel to the world and to go to every creature, It seems almost impossible. But we know with God all things are possible. Amen. But what do I do? What do I do? What's my part? My part is to be a small part of a big thing. And they stepped out on faith and decided that they would be a small part of a big thing. That's what I noticed. I noticed that they were of a different level of faith. I noticed they were willing to be a small part of a big thing. I noticed that they were willing to reach outside their own culture, to get outside of their comfort zone, to get out of what was normal and classified in this box of this is what we normally do. They went to a different culture. They went to a different type of people. They stepped out and took the gospel beyond somebody else, and they were willing to go outside and reach outside their culture. What I noticed about them is they said things that others had not heard. They were willing to say some things that others had not heard. You know what? Everybody's talking about the ball game at work. Everybody's talking about President Trump at work. Everybody's talking about the economy at work. But is everybody talking about Jesus at work? Sometimes we need to, if we're going to be a some of them, we need to say some things nobody else is saying. We need to live a way that nobody else is living. We need to step out on faith. Hey, folks, come on. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be children of God, and if we're going to be a some of them, we must go beyond what's normal and what's natural. And we need to make sure we're saying things that nobody else is saying and what nobody else is hearing. What I notice about them is they acted upon the need and not the norm. They acted upon the need and not the norm. It was normal to go into the Jews. It was normal to stay in their people. But they said there's a need. There's somebody else that needs the gospel. There's somebody else that needs help. There's somebody else that needs Christ. And they went beyond the normal and they focused on the need. Dr. Keene, our former pastor, would always say, his big saying was, a need seen is an assignment given. A need seen is an assignment given. You know what that means? If you're out in the parking lot and you see a piece of paper, you don't wait for the custodian to pick it up. That's a need. You pick it up. A need seen is an assignment given. And what they said was, there's a need seen, and that's our assignment. We're going to take it on ourselves to give these people the gospel because they need the gospel like us. I wonder if on their way they were singing, "Our God always wins." I wonder on their way to go talk to these people, they were saying, "Our God is victorious. Our God always wins." I wonder if that's what they were singing in their heart. I wonder if that day they were singing on the way, "There's power in the blood. There's power, power, power in the blood." Somebody needed to go to them. I wonder if they were singing that day, "It was His love that drew us to Christ. It's His love that will save them." I wonder on their way, they saw a need, and they said, "That's an assignment, and I'm going to take care of that." A need seen is an assignment given. In other words, they acted upon the need and not the norm. Now, I've given you what I know about them. I've given you what I noticed about them. But let me give you what I learned about them. And this is very practical, and I would suggest you write this down. What I learned about them was this. I learned that I do not have to be known by others to be used of God. I don't have to be known of others to be used of God. You know what they were known as? Some of them. They didn't have their name in the lights. Their name wasn't in the bulletin shell. Their name wasn't on the sign. People didn't sign their, they didn't get their book signed by them. I'm thankful for people that are known. I'm thankful for those in our circles that God has raised up as a leadership, but I don't have to be like them to be used of God. I don't have to be known of others. Thank God to be used of God. And I learned that about them. In this passage, I do not have to be known of others to be used of God. You know, I could imagine one day at the front of the line won't be people we would recognize. But they were serving God in the shadows and used powerfully by God in a great way to reach the world for Christ. They didn't have to be known of others to be used of God. The second thing I learned about them is not everybody had to be involved for their life to count. Not everybody had to be involved. Aren't you glad they didn't wait till everybody got involved? Aren't you glad they didn't wait till 50% of everybody got involved or 75? You know what? You don't have to wait till everybody else gets involved. You don't have to wait to come to an altar and get things right with God till everybody else comes to the altar. You don't have to witness to that neighbor after everybody else gets on your side, comes around your door and gives you a pep talk. Hey, we don't have to wait for others. I'm so glad that they didn't wait. I'm so glad that they didn't say, "Well, George and Bill and Sam's not here. What do we do?" They got involved. They didn't have to wait for everybody else. They got involved. You know what? This morning, we'll take simple things like tithing. You know, I don't tithe because everybody else tithes. I tithe because it's commanded of me and I ought to do it. I don't give towards missions because there's a bunch of people in our church that does it. I'm going to give if nobody in our church does. We're going to get involved. Not everybody has to be involved for my life to count. The third thing I want you to know about these people, and I think this is very important and it's applicable to this passage, their circumstances did not dictate their outcome. I'll say it like this. Your circumstances do not have to dictate the outcome. Now get with me here. Look at this passage. Verse number 19, we talked about the persecution. Now who was in the center? Who do we know by name that was there? Right there when Stephen was stoned holding the coats. What was his name? Was it not Saul? So Saul was in the midst of the persecution that drove these people out. I mean, he was coming to their town. He was coming to them and he was dragging them to jail and he was doing all this persecution. He was a part of that. Now some of them did not allow their circumstances to dictate the outcome because this is what happened. When they were persecuted because of their attitude and because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they went out preaching. And because of that, a church was started. Because of that, Barnabas came and stayed with him a while. And verse number 25, I'll skip down for the sake of time. It says, then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek who? Saul, the one doing the persecuting. The one doing that was affecting them in the beginning. The one that they looked at as being the cause or one of the causes. Because they did not allow the circumstances to dictate the outcome. When Saul became Paul, they included him in, and now he was a part of the brethren, and soon he would be their first missionary. Because they did not allow the circumstances to dictate the outcome. They serve the Lord with joy anyway. Amen. Folks, I don't know what circumstance you're in. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what's going on in your world. Your world may be upside down today. You might say, Lord, this is it. If something doesn't happen in this church meeting this morning, I don't know what's going to happen. But you might be in here and you might say, I'm going to end my life if you don't help me today. Can I tell you this morning, you do not have to allow your circumstances to dictate the outcome. Amen. You get Christ Jesus in your heart. You allow Him to work. And I know these words may seem superficial, but I'm telling you what, these words can change everything.
Amen.
Change everything. I'm telling you what. I mean, these words, you look at who they preached to that day. You look at the text. They preached to the Grecians. These weren't church-going, Bible-toting people. These were people that were idolaters. They looked at mysticism and all these weird things and look at knowledge and science. Hey, they came to Christ because of these words. Don't underestimate the power of the gospel. You say, well, my neighbor can't. Well, don't ever estimate the power of the gospel. And so these words changed everything. What I noticed was their circumstances did not dictate their outcome. Well, let me give you these things real quickly. And you'll just have to study them on your own. Let me just make this statement. What are these words about? I told you who spoke the words. What are the words about? Well, they weren't about the greatest ball player or what the kids were doing in school. Because that's not what the people needed. I'm not saying it's bad things. I'm just saying it wasn't what they needed. They preached the Lord Jesus. And you know what the world needs? It needs the Lord Jesus. It needs the Lord Jesus. You know what I need? I need the Lord Jesus. And so the preaching of the Lord Jesus was important. Let me give you this. The power in that wasn't their words. Can I say that this morning? It wasn't their words. We read in verse number 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. That's where the power comes in. The power is in His words, and the power is in His hand. You're just the instrument. You're just the vessel. And so they were just the vessel. They were just the carriers. They were the envelope with the message, and the power was in the hand of God. And I don't have time to go there, but that'd be a great study through the Word of God about the hand of the Lord and see what that means through Scripture. Let me give you this last thing and I'll close. And I won't go into it, but let me just give you these words. How did it affect others? Starts in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So a great number of them believed and turned unto the Lord. It changed men's course for eternity. These words changed men's course for eternity. That was a result. People got saved. People came to know the Lord. People got their lives turned around. They threw off their idols. They threw off their worldly things. And they turned. And again, I can't go into all of this, but what that really meant of that day was they were forsaking their culture. They were forsaking their family and their religion and turning to Christ. Amen. And those words changed men's course for eternity. Not only did it change men's course for eternity, but it caught the attention of others. It caught the attention of others. Now, we don't serve to be shown. We don't serve the Lord to puff ourselves up. But you can't mistake what God's doing. You can't mistake what God's doing in somebody's life. So it caught the attention of others. We won't go into this, but in verse 22 and verse 23, we see that Jerusalem, the main church, sent Barnabas to Antioch to see what was going on. They took notice of the power of God in Antioch, and they sent somebody else. And so it not only changed men's course for eternity, it caught the attention of others. Thirdly, it caused others to see the vision. In verse 23, the Bible says, "Who, when he came and seen the grace of God." You see, Barnabas started seeing the vision. What they saw way back here when they started speaking the words that changed everything, when Barnabas got there, he saw the vision. He saw what they saw all along. And you know what? Just be faithful. Just be faithful in what God has you to do. There may not be a lot of people a part of it. You may not have crowds being attracted to you. But keep on doing what you're doing for God, because others will come if it's of God. He caused others to see the vision. And lastly, it created a pattern for others to follow. So it changed men's course for eternity. It caught the attention of others. It caused others to see the vision. And it created a pattern for others to follow. And in this passage, what happens is more people give towards needs and relief to other people. And it's because some of them create a pattern for others to follow. What are you creating today? Can I ask you a question this morning? Will the decisions made this week, your decisions have a lasting effect on anyone else? Will the words you say this week have a lasting effect, or the decisions that are made have an effect on anyone else? Will the words that are said this week change anything? It's a good question, isn't it? Will the words, not only the decisions you make, but the words you say, and will the commitments made this week cause God to think of you as some of them? Will the commitments made this week cause God to think of you as some of them? I have two Bibles in my hand. I have the Bible that's in my language, and I have a Bible that is of many people's languages of this world. About 2,000 languages, this is their Bible. And when I open it up, Can you see? Some of you may can see it. But they're blank pages. Can I say this morning, these words aren't changing anything. These words that are blank have no effect in someone's life. You know what we need? We need Bible translators. We need churches that will start praying for God to open up or call someone out of their church or maybe a decision made this week. Say, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to get somebody else the Word of God in a language that they don't have it. You know what? The Bible that I have changes everything. This one is not changing anything. But you could be like this book. You could be silent. You could not say anything. You can be quiet. And you cannot change. Anything. Or you could be like that book. And when you're squeezed, Jesus comes out.
Amen.
And your words, and your decisions, and your actions can change everything. And it might start at an altar like this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you stand with me this morning?